Welcome to another edition of Know the Name, Know the Answers. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. I have an incredible guest for tonight. I am so thrilled that Michelle Blood has agreed to join us, and wait, you'll fall in love with her just as I have through her website and what I've heard about her. Michelle Blood is a successful, multi-talented lady. In addition to creating music vision, or vision, how do you pronounce that, Michelle? I want to make sure I'm right.
Thanks, Sharon. It's Musevation.
Musevation. Thank you. Products and seminars worldwide. Her public mystical success events have been held in over 16 countries. Her largest audience was 50,000 people in Kuala Lumpur. And I thought I had a big audience of 1,000 when I was there. No comparison. So after many years of meditation, Michelle's Kundalini awakened and it transformed her consciousness. She now teaches others how to live a mystical life and experience divine oneness, which is the true heart of true happiness, success, and purpose in one's life. Now, Michelle has authored over 60 books, audiobooks, DVDs, music CDs. By the way, if you get to go to her website, which is her name, michelleblood.com, and Michelle is spelt with one L, you can hear her singing. Absolutely incredible voice. Okay. And she's been on TV shows, including authoring with Bob Proctor, the titles Becoming a Magnet to Money Through the Sea of Unlimited Consciousness, New Paradigms, and Be Your Perfect Weight, and Becoming a Magnet to Money. Now, Brian Tracy, whom we all know and love, is an authority on selling. And he says about Michelle that she's put together materials that bring about permanent behavioral change. And Michelle has been incredibly generous and is giving you all her free new ebook called The Magic of Affirmation Power. And the gift for the link is on my site, and it's in the email that you were sent, and it is michelleblood.com/know the name. So I am so pleased and honored, Michelle, you decided to join us. Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers.
Thank you so much.
So tell us how you got started in all of this. You know, it's like I took Kundalini yoga for a long time, and I was even curious that you mentioned Kundalini, and I was thinking, okay, is that Kundalini yoga? Is that what you were doing, or is it something different?
No, I just, through my meditation practice, through having an enlightened teacher for many years, my Kundalini awakened. It's not actually called Kundalini yoga. It's a chakra meditation that I did for many, many years, which then awakens your Kundalini. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at my beautiful little Siamese cat playing with the birds. I call it cat TV. I put all the bird seed out there, and so he can just watch them. Cat TV.
So what got you started even wanting to spend that much time in meditation?
Well, good question. Thank you, Sharon. Well, originally, I lived in the mountains, in the Blue Mountains in Australia as a little girl, and I went to this Catholic school, and I absolutely was in love with Jesus and in love with the nuns, and it was obviously a past life memory of some sort of spiritual experience. I would go to Mass every morning and sit with the nuns. To the extent, because I was a singer since I was very, very young, about 3, they used to always have me on their school of Stedvets, the nuns. And so when my parents were going to move to Sydney, to the big city, they attempted to talk my parents into letting me live with them for a year so that I could stay with them to do more school of Stedvets. Because to the nuns, the musical nuns, the St. Joey's from Ireland, they love to win the school singing Estedvets. And my father said, oh, I think that's a nice idea, because he was the Catholic, my mother not. And my mother said, are you kidding? They'll have her and she'll end up being a nun by the time she's 10. And it was obviously something I was drawn towards, because I know that I have been in monasteries, and now I know, because I have memory of past lives. So it was just So a lot of times people think they're attracted or they're supposed to do something when it's just a past life sort of shadow memory of that particular experience. But anyway, to make a long story short so it's entertaining for everyone. So I went on to have quite a lot of success in Australia as a rock singer, songwriter. I had a great band. We travelled all over the country for years and years, and we ended up getting 4,000 to 6,000 people a night. We got a record a deal. We did videos. And so as far as I was concerned, my life was on purpose. I wasn't in the periphery of really meditation or spirituality, even though I loved the Catholic Church. As I got older, I sort of forgot about that. You know, I still enjoyed reading spiritual books. Like I remember having Muktananda's book, Swami Muktananda's and your Autobiography of a Yogi, books like that that were sort of more mystical. I was attracted to St. Teresa of Avila, Interior Castle. But I still wasn't what I would call ever religious. I was just fascinated by the whole idea of that type of connection. So anyway, we were getting interest from record companies in Europe and in the UK, and which was our dream. And then one night we had a terrible truck accident with all the equipment because the truck driver fell asleep because it was miles and miles, because Australia is as big as America, but especially back then there was only 16 million people. I think there's about 19 million people now, which is about LA County, same as LA County. So you travel for, you know, sometimes 8, sometimes 14 hours to get to the next gig. Anyway, he fell asleep, and as the passenger in the truck that night, the musical equipment went into me and I was crushed. I had incredible amount of injuries, and I was in the hospital for many, many months, many, many long operations. And even though that looks on the outside to be a really horrific type of situation, it was in fact my greatest thing that could ever happen to me, to set me on my true purpose. So when I was in the hospital, I was very depressed because I was in absolute agony physically and emotionally, because what was I going to do if I couldn't do cartwheels across the stage and get on the speakers? I mean, it's a very disciplined life in Australia as a rock singer, manager of the band, main songwriter, getting the agents, the road crew. I did everything. And so you have to be extremely disciplined, but it was worth it for every gig and every recording that we did, every song we wrote, because that was my purpose. I thought my main purpose, that was it. I loved it. I've been doing it. My first professional gig, as I said, I was 3. I was on TV by the time I was 5. So had no encouragement at all from my family to do that, just the opposite. So I left home when I was 15 because I didn't have that sort of support, and went on to do it on my own. I just went on, did it all on my own. And, of course, I know now I didn't do it on my own. I had spirit with me. I had the divine presence with me, my own higher self, you know, taking me on the journey for me to get to my true purpose. So anyway, in the hospital, fans and family were putting on these positive tapes. And there was one that really got me, which is very, very weird, because it's like Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. Now, what is a young female Australian singer, rock singer in Australia? How is that her spiritual epiphany? Napoleon Hill writing about entrepreneurs in the 1920s in America, like Henry Ford and all these different people, and how they became successful. I wasn't interested in any of that, but I couldn't turn the tape off because I'm in the hospital bed and I still couldn't move. And so I had to listen. And then I had this strange feeling come over me when he started talking about how he had this beautiful little infant boy and he was born with no hearing whatsoever. So he used auto-suggestion affirmations for his little infant boy. So he would go into, they mustn't have had cassette recordings then, I guess, in the 20s, 1920s. Anyway, he would go into his little infant son's room every night and say, "You hear perfectly. You are strong. You are healthy and you can hear perfectly. You are so wise, so intelligent. You are a powerful spirit. You can hear perfectly. Miracles are happening right this minute." He would just do all this every night. And by the time the little boy was 3 or 4, he had 30% of his hearing, which the doctor said was impossible. So I thought, oh, my gosh, this I believe this. I know that this isn't BS. I absolutely believe it. So I've always seen, I sort of had this vibration of whenever I've had an idea or to get a band together or to get that drummer because he's the best drummer in this area or want this guitarist, I'm going to nab him from that band. I just used my willpower and my thought to do it. And I said, I've been doing this for years. I've been doing my willpower. I have that guitarist. He's the best. I have that recording studio. I have that record producer. I've always known that I could manifest or what my spirit was manifesting. I thought it was just, you know, my willpower, but it was more than that. And so I started doing an affirmation for myself. I wasn't healed. So I said, okay, the opposite. I am healed, because I wasn't. So, oh, great, perfect. We're starting off on a good affirmation now. And I know I am because I totally didn't know I was because the doctors were saying, you're not going to be healed. And I love myself. I am my friend because I wasn't my friend. I was suicidal. I wished I could move my body so I could do something to kill myself. And so I thought I've got the perfect affirmation now. I am healed. I know I am. I love myself. I am my friend. I was like, oh, that's the opposite of everything that's here. I have got it. So I kept saying it over and over again for 2 days. And Napoleon Hill said something very important in this book. You have to emotionalize the affirmation, the auto-suggestion, because, and this is back before neuroscience knew about short and long-term memory, because otherwise, if you don't believe something, if the doubting mind comes in and says, oh, that's not true, that's BS, well, then it just goes out from the short-term memory. It never implants itself as a new thought. And this is why when people are extremely emotional and they can't control their emotion, and that's usually when they're horny, hungry, angry, fearful. And so these things get stuck onto people's consciousness. Their beautiful clear diamond is contaminated with these doubts and fears because they've allowed these emotions to, because it's, there's a lot more negative, fearful emotions that happen in the world with consciousness than happy ones.
Just a minute right there. Makes me laugh for what you're saying with these affirmations and having emotion with them, because when I was a single parent for most of my children's lives growing up, and I used to have them write down, this is what you desire in your life. And, you know, this is what you're choosing, and that's what you're choosing. And I would say, get your list. And when they would get really mad at me for something, when I would say no, or something that would happen at school, and they would be really, really emotional, I would go to them and say, don't waste that emotion. Where's your list? Start yelling it out with all that emotion. It was like,
well, they were very blessed that they had such good karma to have such a good mum.
But I was always like, don't waste that emotion on me or the air. Go get your affirmations.
Good job. Good job.
Anyway, please continue with your story, Michelle.
Yeah. So after 2 days, I just said, look, this is BS. I don't believe it. I don't feel any better, not even in my mind. And then a week later, or just under a week later, I had this epiphany. Hey, I'm going to go get these people to go and get me affirmation music, because I know I've written songs for years. I've written jingles for advertising agency. You cannot get a song out of your head, even if you don't like the song. It just goes, you know, and I'd really, after songwriting for so many years, I had learnt how to get that chorus into someone's mind and had, you know, had records out there. So I said, I'm going to sing it, because they couldn't find any affirmation music. My brother said, there's nothing like that. There's maybe, he said, the only one I thought was an affirmation was James Brown, I Feel Good and I Knew That I Would. And I said, that'll do for now. Good old James Brown, get down, get up. Which one is it? Ow! And so I just sang. I just wrote a little song in the moment. I had a little cassette recorder, which I always had with me to put down an idea. If I ever had a songwriting idea, lots of songwriters do that. You just sing it immediately onto your recording. So I said, okay, here we go. I am healed. I know I am. I love myself. I am my friend. And I just kept singing it over and over and over again onto my cassette, and I would get the nurses just to keep rewinding it. and I would just listen to it really softly all night as well. And to make a, you know, to just to jump to the end line, well, not quite the end line. So when I got out of the hospital, I started writing lots and lots of affirmation songs for myself. Magnet to money. I am a success. I persist until I succeed. I'm a spiritual being. I love myself. I forgive. All these songs. And I had a couple of my musician friends from my band go into the studio and we recorded them. And then some journalists found out about my healing because the doctors were saying, you know, this is miraculous healing. So they put me on TV and in some rock magazines talking about these affirmation pop songs. So then out of the blue, which is never out of the blue, these promoters, not rock promoters, but self-help promoters. And that wasn't even in my periphery, Sharon, because I didn't know about that sort of thing. I hadn't really, you know, it wasn't my world. My world was the rock world. And he said, oh, look, I've got Deepak Chopra I'm bringing out from America, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Stuart Weil, Tony Alessandra, Jim Cathcart. You know, it's going to be amazing. And I want you to sing a different affirmation song. You've got so many affirmation songs. The speakers can choose which song, which is, you know, applying to their speech. And they speak for an hour and then you get up and sing, talk a little bit about your healing. He said, I think we'll get a lot of young people in this way because they know who you are. And my name was different back then because the record company changed it because they thought Blood sounded too punk. So you won't find me under Michelle Blood back then. But anyway, that's another story because you're talking about Know Thy Name. Know the name. But anyway, and so I said, look, I've got my rock band. I'm really not interested in anything like that. And they said, we'll pay you $5,000 a gig and you can sell on cassette or CD or whatever you can choose to do. It's up to you to pay for it, but you can sell them at the back of the room. And I said, how many people come to these things? And they said, oh, between 3,000 and 5,000 people. So my first gig with these people, who I'd never met, never heard of, was to 5,000 people in Adelaide, Australia. And then we just kept touring and I started to get to know these guys, you know, these men who were best-selling authors. And I thought, oh, wow, this is fascinating. You know, I started listening to every gig and they were very much saying to me, look, this is very unusual what you're doing. Really, I would highly recommend that you go overseas and just get it out there or just get it produced somehow. And I said, I've already produced about 40 of my affirmation songs and I'm selling them on cassette. And then so that was that. And then 2 weeks later, after that tour finished, this other promoter who was promoting Bob Proctor, who everyone probably knows from The Secret now, but he wasn't known in the public back then. So I started touring with him and he really didn't want me to sing. And he didn't know who I was. And he said, I don't need some little Australian rock singer. I'm Bob Proctor. I'm doing a special event. I've got the whole thing. You know, they had 2,500 people at each city. And they said, no. It works great. You've got no idea. She gets people up on this up. They've got the lyrics for the affirmations. Everyone starts singing them over and over again. It brings energy. And he said, well, I'm just telling you, I don't want her. Well, she's already booked. And halfway through the first gig that I did with him in Sydney, it was in the evening. He came backstage and he said, I did not want you to work with me. And I was like, well, thank you very much. Nice to meet you too, mate. Exactly. And he said, but I love it. I love the energy. You're so tiny, but you've got this energy. And, oh, I love the music and the affirmations. I've been teaching this for years. Why didn't someone do this before through pop music? And I said, well, I just did it for totally – you know, just I had an epiphany to do it because I just wanted to heal my body. So he listened to my story, said, I want to work with you all over the world. So I ended up after 6 months breaking up my band. They weren't too happy about that, but they went on to great success in their own right. And I ended up working in all these different countries all over the world and end up having my own events. And I ended up doing, as a solo artist, I had lots of hit records overseas in different languages as well. Particularly in Malaysia, I became quite a big singer there. And as I said, you know, big concerts and a lot of big seminars too in countries all over the world. And that's how my spiritual journey really began, because once you start having that positivity built in, you oscillate. Your frequency is a much faster vibration. And so you begin to feel things and see things that other people can't see because it's veiled from them. Because as the vibration, I know Sharon knows this, but maybe someone listening hasn't heard it quite in this way, because we all learn in a different way. And so I started feeling things. I felt like my heart was out of my chest. I felt such love. And so I started on a very deep mystical journey looking for someone who was awakened that could teach me. I wanted to know someone who knew God. And I worked with, oh my God, over 100 different people that are very, very well known. But none of them were awakened. They were just really great teachers who'd had an experience that had changed their life, made them money or healed their body or whatever it was. But they weren't awakened. I wanted someone who knew God. And so I started my search worldwide to find someone, and eventually I did.
See, that is so amazing, because every time I had extra money, I was a school teacher, but every time I had extra money, I would go traveling. I stayed with Japu in Thailand and with Sai Baba in India, and I could keep naming all around. To me, that was the most important thing I could do, was to study with the ones who were living their connection with God.
Yeah, I saw that. You, yeah, we've got, yeah, you were a nomad, but you were searching for an awakened teacher. Yeah, I saw Sai Baba a couple of times, but what I felt when I saw Sai Baba was, oh, this is a magician. This is obviously, he's got some power, but I don't feel a love for him, because you have to feel an affection for a teacher. He doesn't speak English. He's showing up jewels. I don't care about any of that crap. I'm making heaps of money. I was doing great. I was just wanting someone, you know, and I was like, you know, this is not my thing. I'm not meant to be sitting in some ashram in some crappy little room with a hole in the floor toilet. So
after 3 weeks, I went, okay, this isn't for me. I found such inspiration with Dr. Eugene Whitworth, who wrote Nine Faces of Christ, and with J.J. Dewey. I don't know if you know him. He's out of Idaho, and he's written, a prolific author. But anyway, keep going. You know?
No, I don't know them. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. But I kept seeking, and then, and able for me to be able to afford to study with them, I used to sponsor them and get a lot of people together and put on great events so that I could learn from them. I mean, that was really my motivation. How do I make it possible where I get to experience these people? And it was through sharing it with a lot of other people.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Michelle, you say all the time that thoughts are things. That was something my mother used to say when she would correct us in our vocabulary on what words we were choosing. And she would say, thoughts are things, watch those words. And you have said that belief systems are the only thing holding us back from being successful. Tell us about that. And what are some of the belief systems that people believe that get in their way, and how would you transform them, or how do you change them? What could they be to be more helpful?
Well, it's a great question, but I mean, people forget the Buddha. Hello, the Buddha. He said it 2,500 years ago. It was his main teaching. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. And that is true. However, it is very, very different in this day and age, because of the fact that there were hardly any people on the planet compared to what we've got now. We've got nearly 8 billion people. And when that happens, we are what I call, you know, I was ordained a Buddhist monk in Bhutan, and what we call the Maya, the collective consciousness of the planet, it is absolutely what people begin to get these belief systems, which aren't even their belief systems. And it's not just through culture, it's not just through family, it's through the collective consciousness of the planet. So there's been so many different thoughts. Every thought anyone's ever had is part of that collection. So we've got to rise above. The frequency, the vibration has to go beyond into the eternal for that to be melted away. Otherwise, it's never melted away. The affirmations and visualization and these modalities assist greatly to bring the frequency up so that you start having more energy, exercising your body, eating good food, all of these things bring your energy up. We need to bring the vibration. That's what energy is. It's vibration. It is frequency. It's oscillating frequency of divine. And we've got to rise above the Maya for that particular doubting minds and old belief systems, which aren't ours. They're just part of the collective consciousness. And it depends on how clear you can become. So I say to people, you've got to work on your own to get as clear as you can, but then you want to go deeper. As your vibration comes up, you tend to think less about the things, the doubting mind sort of it gets hidden, but you still have some gunk, some old belief system and gunk that is sort of right down. You've got this beautiful shining diamond that's glittering on the eternal ocean of light, and it's sort of like clunked up with the gunk of emotional experiences and people's belief systems. And so it's sort of still down there. So for a person to have that absolutely released, I'm not just talking about, you know, because if you want to do it just with affirmations, you will perhaps manifest many, many things that you like, but you will still have your reactions, your judgments, and you still won't be happy all of the time. You will still have fears that come up. You will still have certain self-doubts that will come up because we have to have them dissolved. And the only way they can be dissolved is through either having an enlightened teacher transmit light and teach you, someone who is awakened, who has worked very hard for many lifetimes to become free. And they are plugged into the divine. Their kundalini has awakened. They are in the moment, in every moment. And you can feel the vibration. When I first met my teacher, she was just sitting there on a stage, an American lady, younger than me, small like me. And I was like, how can I feel so much vibration and energy from this little person? It's just, it was blowing me away. I saw her hands were glowing. My eyes started tearing up. And I was so blessed that she said I could become her student. And after many years of studying with her and doing the things that she said and having this light transmitted, because I realized I had been teaching this for years all over the world very successfully, I realized I had to begin again, a beginner's mind, because this was someone who knew God. This is what I've been wanting. And that was pretty challenging to start with, because when you've had a lot of success and many books and tons of CDs, 400 songs released worldwide, different languages, the ego can sometimes come up and say, but I already know this. But something, I was so, so blessed, lucky, whatever you choose to call good karma, that something within me said, no, that's ego. That is part of the Maya. You've got to have a beginner's mind and start again. This woman became awakened. So this is what we want. So just forget about everything you've taught or anything that you do. But then I did realize that the positive thoughts, the affirmation songs, the visualization, exercising my body, looking after myself, all of the things, having a strong willpower, were very, very massively connected to that I knew this teacher, that I felt an affection for this teacher, that I knew that she knew God. And I found out after I was awakened that I had known her many, many times before. And so it's really, really a very personal and interesting thing to find a teacher, because it doesn't, you could go and see an enlightened teacher who may not speak English, and it doesn't mean that, that's your teacher. You've got to be part of the lineage. It's got to be part of your soul, part of your soul tribe, because then you will be happy. Then you, and I love the fact that she was so irreverent, because I love irreverence being a, you know, Australia particularly, because I when people act so saintly, oh, come here and listen to me. You know, it's, I'm a very saintly person. I'm like, oh, piss off.
So So if it's so important to have a teacher, or what the gurus say, it's important to have a guru, which is just another name for teacher. And the reason I feel like you got attracted to her was because you have humility. And humility to me is a still willing to learn, or a teachability. To me, that's what humility is. And that's why all the great books say we need to stay humble. So how would you say to all of my listeners, if now they say, okay, I want to find my teacher, how would they even start to go about that?
Well, you have to be drawn to want to do it. It can't be just, oh, that sounds cool, maybe I'll find an enlightened teacher, you know, because I've got students now, since my awakening, I've got students from all over the world. And, you know, it's always very, very interesting to us how they were attracted to come to me. And some of them would say, oh, I read one of the books you did with Bob Proctor, and I just really liked the mystical stuff you were talking about in the Sea of Unlimited Consciousness. It was showing me different levels of consciousness, and that there was something within me that was like, oh, that rings true. Someone else would say, oh, I saw one of your videos on YouTube, or I don't know what it was, but I just felt drawn. Someone else, oh, I decided to come on a free prayer call 10 years ago, and I felt light. I felt vibration. And I thought, this is fascinating. I've got to find out. And then other people would start giving testimonials. But mainly it was just individual souls, because we've our membership, our students from the mystical experience are in 26 different countries. Some of them don't even speak English. So they get all of our events, our virtual events, the things that I talk to them about, they get them translated because they feel the vibration of the light being transmitted to them, and it changes and it transforms their consciousness, and miraculous things happen all the time, the things that they didn't think were possible, because you have to want to work on it yourself. You can't just, I don't believe you can just say, I want to find a teacher. It's got to be something that your soul calls out, and it usually happens without making a decision. It's usually the people that have made a decision, not to find a teacher per se, but to make a decision that they want to be healed because they're emotionally or physically not well. They want to make more money because they're broke, or they just need to feel on purpose with their life. They just know they're good people, they're positive people, but they just seem to be one hair's breadth away from that success that they want. Or they want, you know, they might be in nasty relationship. It doesn't matter what the original reason is that they think consciously, at an unconscious level maybe, that they're attracted to a certain type of teacher, it ends up showing them very, very clearly in the end if that person isn't an experienced teacher and they're actually coming from that, from a, that's their purpose, that's their entire life, they feel it. That's why my students, I think we've only ever had 3 students leave in 10 years.
I understand so much what you mean by somebody just feels it, because I have read hundreds of books. I've read at least one book a week ever since I was a kid. And when I read the book of Eugene Whitworth and then I read one of J.J. Dewey's books, in both cases, even though I had read hundreds of books, I went, oh, I need to know more. And I literally called and figured out how to call the author and said, how do I become a student of yours? So I get that. And that's a very good way for everyone who's listening. If you're drawn to a book, if you're drawn to a person, reach out and start asking questions. And sometimes it's like very interesting. I will get emails that say, this is where I'm interested. Do you know someone who's good? You know, or can you introduce me to somebody or whatever? And, you know, you start networking and you will eventually find where you're supposed to be. But I think it takes action. I think so many times we've been taught just think it, you know, or say my affirmation. But I think it also takes action. You need to follow through on those impulses and desires and say, I choose this enough that I'm willing to take action on it.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, you could sit in a cave and just think about it. But it's like we've got to do the work. Like I said, we've got to be the FedEx guy, you know. We've got to deliver the message, deliver the package, create what it is we want to create the best we can, and know that we're not doing it alone. Know that that divine presence, that omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent divine, which is the same divine presence within each person as we work to have that released, that power, that love, that energy, well, then we are able to achieve more. So that's what we've got to work on to start with when you take action on improving your life. If you have a weakness and you know it's a weakness, you do your best to release it and say, okay, well, that's my weakness, so I'm going to improve that. I'm going to do an affirmation song, or an affirmation that if I'm not persistent, I'm going to listen to the persistent song. I'm going to find out what I don't want. I'm going to not be afraid of, I'm not going to complain anymore, because when I'm complaining, I mask my fear. I want to face my fear, find out what it is, and I'll probably find out that it's not real anyway. I'm just projecting about something that may never happen, probably will never happen. And so when people can really begin to work on themselves and not just rely on, you know, like you said, they've got to take action on their own consciousness, of course, and do whatever they can to release those weaknesses and make them their strengths, which is not easy, because the ego gets pissed off. It's like, no, I'm just going to watch mindless television. I'm just going to get a pizza. I don't care about that. I deserve it. I've been working hard. And all these excuses come up, and it's just absolutely, you know, self-sabotage. And so, you know, everyone is responsible for their own outcome. We can't blame anybody else. Every single soul that comes to this planet has made an agreement to meet up with each other again so that you can learn those lessons, rise above those weaknesses, and learn to love and not be so reactionary, not be so judgmental, and realize that that is just masking your fear, which can be released so easily if you decide to transform yourself.
Now, I know by now you're all saying, how can we find out more about Michelle? Her website is michelleblood.com. And if you go to michelleblood.com/know-the-name, you can download a free ebook of hers. And again, all that information is always on the website, and it's in your newsletters. And we're just thrilled to share that with you. We're going to be taking our short break, and then we'll be right back, because we want to find out from Michelle, are people actually afraid of success? Stay tuned.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories, and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.
Again, you're listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Our fabulous guest tonight is Michelle Blood. You can find out more about her at michelleblood.com. Remember, Michelle is spelt with one L, not two, and that you can download a free book that she has for you, The Magic of Affirmation Power, and you can get it at michelleblood.com/know-the-name. Now, if you are driving, doing the dishes, doing something where you cannot write that information down right now, you know that you can always go to Know the Name. Go to the schedule page and see tonight's radio show, and Michelle's bio is there, how to contact her, how to get your free book. All the reminders are there. Also, you've been sent an extra email that simply gives you that information also, that makes it really convenient. You just go to your email and look at the last one that I sent out and say, oh, yes, here's this information. I want to make sure I download this book. So, Michelle, before the break, we wanted to know, are people afraid of success?
That's a very good question. And it's all about vibration and old paradigms. So somebody may go to a seminar or read a book and they get inspired. Their soul, you know, everyone has moments of feeling their spirit. And they're like, wow, I feel enthusiastic. This is going to be great for me. I'm really, really going to, I'm going to open that restaurant. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do a radio show like Sharon. I've been inspired by her. I'm going to, you know, do something that will make my life feel like I'm on purpose, not just about making money. I know that that's important. I'm going to do that too, but I'm going to do something to make my life on purpose. And so what happens is, we were talking about the Maya recently, the doubting mind. If you haven't gone, if it's like air conditioning, you turn your air conditioning to say 70. And then as cat TV with the bird, sorry, they're making noise.
anyway, oh, I watch the birds out my window all the time. I get it.
I love it. Priceless. Anyway, so people will they think they've made a decision, but they haven't really, because it's like the air conditioning. After a few days, maybe they start writing a book, or they start looking at how they can start their own podcast or website or do a new sort of work. And then what happens is their vibration, their oscillation goes down, back down to the original frequency it was at before it got excited, because there are like 10,000 different states of mind that people go through, but they'll generally come back to that original state of mind or oscillating vibration. And so to rise above that, for people to become successful, because the doubting mind will then say, as an excuse to mask the fear, it will say, you know what, you hate accounting, but you're really good at it. You're making money, you're looking after your family, or maybe even your spouse or your kids, or especially family members usually. You know, don't do that. You've got a good thing here. It's regular, blah, blah, blah. And then something like COVID-19 comes up and people are like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to reinvent myself, you know. So sometimes people need to have a jolt. Their spirit will attract a jolt in their life for them to sort of have their oscillation just go beyond that little bit of 70. Even if it just goes to 72, that will be enough for them to be able to use their willpower to not do that. Don't ask people's opinions. You've got to be able to make your own decisions. I'll give you two great examples. I met this lady in New Zealand many, many years ago. We had a big audience, a couple of thousand people in Auckland. And I was saying to people, what do you want? You've got to know what you want. What do you want? You've got to, if you can't get beyond your belief systems unless you know what you want. Is everyone clear? God will work with you if you know what you want. Most people just say that they want more money, they want to be happy, but you've got to be more specific. You've got to start using that, letting that creative energy, which is your divine, omniscient, oh, gorgeousness, to, you know, sweep over you, to fill you, to overflowing. And this woman who was, oh, my God, she must have been nearly 400 pounds. And this pretty lady. And she was obviously unhappy. She put her hand up and she said, look, I don't know what I want. I think I do, though. And I said, okay, be brave. Tell me what you want. She said, I want to be a professional piano player in a beautiful lobby in a 5-star hotel in Asia or somewhere. And I said, well, just do that. And she said, I've never played piano in my life. She said, I'm an accountant and I hate it. I'm sort of okay at it. And so I gave her a challenge. This is very unusual for this to happen, but it does happen sometimes with people. I said, what I would like you to do is throw away your television set. You've got to remember, this is a long time ago. about 25 years ago. I said, throw away your television set, buy yourself a keyboard, no more pizza, no more carbohydrate, start exercising your body, just walking a little bit. And I said, all the hours that you put to mask your unhappiness every night, living on your own, aren't you? She said, yes. I said, so no more television, literally throw it out. And I said, and then all those hours that you put into television or not eating good food, I said, you play piano. You practice, you practice, you practice. If after the first month and get yourself like the best piano teacher of that style of piano that you want to learn, you know, I said, in Auckland, there must be tons of them in Auckland. Just get the best, not the cheapest, the best, the professional ones. And I said, if after a month you realize you don't have a talent for it, well, then just look at something else you can do to bring yourself happiness. And she said, you know what? I'm going to do that. And I said, because I've got the feeling that if you've had this longing to play piano all your life, it's probably a past life gift, like Mozart, who had past life gift as this beautiful creative yeah. light of God that just wrote perfect music. I said, so I bet you that you're really good at it and you'll learn fast. I heard from her 2 years later. She had released over 200 pounds. She had a job at the Regent Hotel, which is right on the harbour of Sydney. She moved to Australia as a piano player. And she just said, I can't thank you enough. And I said, but that's so brave that you actually did. You did the challenge. And there was another man I met who wanted to start an Italian restaurant. He loved cooking. All his family loved his food. And he had, I don't know what sort of job it was, but IT type of job in a big company. And he had it all worked out, the menus, everything. But then his brother said, this is ridiculous. What if you fail? You know, there's a lot of restaurants in the world. There's a lot of Italian restaurants. And he just decided, I'm not going to listen to them. He was at one of my events. He said, so what do I do? And I said, well, you don't listen to them. I said, you do what you want to do. I said, of course, if you've got a spouse and kids, you'll have to put that into consideration. But he didn't. And his brother was just, oh, you'll fail. This is ridiculous. There's too much, you know, competition. But he did it. He opened an Italian restaurant in La Jolla, and it became very, very successful. And, you know, I heard he would still come to my events when I came to America over the years, on and off. And I just love it. He said, what should I do to make myself different? I said, get Italian singers to become your waiters. I said, do entertaining things to make it fun. I said, Californians love fun. They want good cooking. And so he started implementing all these new ideas. There's another lady, when the lockdown came, a student of mine who's a great piano teacher in Switzerland. She's from Spain. And she was like, what am I going to do? Because the piano school has closed down. And I said, reinvent yourself. So now she's teaching. We got some of our team to assist her to create a website where she can do Zoom teaching to hundreds of students from all over the world. She speaks five languages. I said, you can teach all these different languages, all these different countries, and you are stuck in just one little school of music. I said, you make a lot of money, and she's loving it. So what you've got to do is don't listen to other people. Make sure that you know what you want. Feel it within yourself. Don't take action until you're clear. But, you know, so for example, some people say, you know, just get rid of the job immediately. I didn't say that to this accountant in Auckland. I said, you keep at it until you're good. Keep your accounting job, but instead of all those hours, you don't work on the weekends except, you know, on tax season. I said, just keep all those hours for exercise, for maybe take a dance class, but always playing piano. And look what happened. So if you're afraid that the new career or the thing that you want to do, because you're afraid of It's not really fear of success, it's fear of failure, I guess. You know, fear of, oh, I'm going to fail because you're so used to doing the same thing that you don't really like. A lot of people are in these little cubicles, and then they got to work from home during this lockdown and they're like, wow, I'm going to reinvent myself. I'm going to do something different. And so
I used to tell my students about fail. I had this big sign in my classroom that said fail when they first came into the room. And of course, I taught math and a lot of people are averse to math. And they would all look at me and say, what do you mean fail? And I said, well, the F-A-I-L stands for first attempt in learning. And I don't expect you to pass the first time through. I expect us to have to redo this a few times. So I'm expecting a few failures on the way to success. And the minute you can give somebody permission to fail, the fear goes away. But I wanted to share another idea, everybody that's listening. Think of it, if you have 100 pennies of energy to create what you wish to create in your life, and that every time you tell somebody about it, you are spending a penny up to a nickel. And if that person can assist you in creating your dream, it's money well spent. But if that person cannot assist you, so regardless, they're going to react some way, positively or negatively, somewhere in between, then that is money not well spent. And if you only have 100 units of energy, and to think of it that way and say, can these ones help me? So I'm going to share my idea with them because they can help me. So that will enrich both of us. Then it's worth investing some of those pennies of energy. But if they cannot help, it's wasted time. It's wasted energy. It's wasted all of what you're doing instead of putting it into something that would be productive. Okay, Michelle, I got another one for you.
Excellent.
You have a fabulous definition of discipline. Now, I know I was so disciplined as a kid. I did ballet, tap, jazz, you name it, after school for 2.5 to 3 hours a day. I read one major text, like I read the Bible in 1 year, the Bhagavad Gita 1 year, the Book of Quran 1 year. Plus, I was reading another book a week to keep up. I was so disciplined, I didn't know how to play. But that's not what I would encourage for people because you really have no life. So what's your definition of discipline?
Telling yourself to do a thing and then actually doing it. Simple.
I love it. It's kind of like putting the alarm in the morning and saying you're going to get up at 7 and then not hitting the snooze button, but actually getting up.
I don't know how people hit snooze buttons. I've got no idea. The minute I'm awake, I mean, I slept like an hour and a half last night and I'm still filled with energy. I've done podcasts, walked around, done my Pilates, because once you have that energy, and I'm 62 now, and it's like once you have that energy from the light, you're young forever and you don't have to even use your willpower anymore because you're awakened and you're in that moment. And so it's only the mind that people, you know, stop and they listen to an old habit. Oh, I deserve this. I deserve that. No, you don't. You don't deserve unhappiness. You don't deserve to not have things happen the way you want to have happen. You are the creation of the divine, of the eternal, of eternity. You must be co-creating. Let the divine have fun through you. Let the divine be on first class. You know, Bob Proctor and I always used to say, you know, the front of the plane, the back of the car. And he used to say, camping to me is staying at the Marriott.
Oh, that's cute. That's really cute. Michelle, I know that you write songs for corporate. You give workshops for them, seminars. You have many events that people can attend, and I'm sure a lot of them now are online. How do people get to you other than your website? How do they find out about what you're doing online and what they can participate in?
Well, usually we just have everything up on the mysticalexperience.com. That's where all my students go. We put the events on. I've got a big event this
mysticalexperience.com.
Hang on 2 seconds. My cat's throwing up. He's been eating too much of the cat grass. Hang on 2 seconds. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. So you're saying it's the website that's called mysticalexperience.com if you want to find out about your events. And right now you're having a special that you're writing a song for the corporations that hire you.
No, I don't do the corporate gigs anymore. I don't know what bio Trevor gave you. But No, I used to do that many, many, many years ago, like 30 years ago or something like that. But no. Now I've just got all my students. I put on the events, virtual events, and I tour all over the world doing the mystical experience events. They're all mystical experience events, but we cover many, many different topics. We've got a big event this Saturday, the 27th of June, myhighvibration.com. They can find out about that there. But yes, I'm sorry if Trevor sent you an old bio by mistake.
Oh, no, I was just doing research on the web.
Oh, okay.
He was that was
years ago. I used to do affirmation jingles. Like I did one for Motorola in Kuala Lumpur so that they're it was an affirmation pop song, but you call it a jingle, but it wasn't for the public. It was for their staff. It was for their teams so that they could have this, like I would put their mission or their vision statement into a song, into an affirmation song, and then put it in their language
so that everyone would learn the vision statement. I have been in so many places and they don't know their vision statement. Nobody does. And I think, how can you accomplish this if nobody knows what it is and it's just filed in some drawer or pasted on some poster in some hallway that nobody looks at anymore? Michelle, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show with us tonight. Again, everyone, you can find out more about Michelle at michelleblood.com. Remember, her name is with one L instead of two. And if you do a / know the name afterwards, you can download the book that she's willing to give all of us for free. You can also find out about her events at mysticalexperience.com and about her next one at myhighvibration.com. Again, if you don't have something to write it all down with, you can find it at knowthename.com on the schedule page, just where you always go to find out about our fabulous guests. Remember that next week, on the show, it's just me, no guest, because it's the first Thursday of the month. Call in, get your name analyzed, get your questions solved, get answers, all from reading the name. And again, Michelle, thank you so much. Everybody, God bless. Have a fabulous week. This is
Thank you.
Sharon Lynn
thank
Wyeth.
You, Sharon.
Oh, you're most welcome. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.